Pretty much everyone is familiar with the ride, It's a Small World. The annoyingly monotonous jingle has famously been known to drive people out of their minds, no matter how much of a fan of Disney they are. However, what most people don't realize about it is that there's a reason for its surface-level optimism and droning repetition. Something that lies just beneath its candy-coated artifice, awaiting the day it can show everyone its true nature. After my wife passed away, I got really into paranormal research, with the futile hope of somehow figuring out a way to contact her in the afterlife. Although through years of attempting, I never truly found anything that was substantial proof of life after death. I even made somewhat of a name for myself across the country, for being the ghost hunter who doesn't believe in ghosts. That would all change when I was contracted to investigate the Small World ride at Disneyland. I was contacted in secret by an area manager and forced to sign NDA after NDA saying that I would not tell about the things I was going to see. However, this story needs to be heard. The manager communicated to me that guests had been reporting to him that they were noticing strange things occurring on the ride as of late. After reading a few written reports from them, I can say I was definitely very intrigued. One woman claimed that as she was riding the ride herself, she heard something scratching across the bottom of her boat. Thinking it was just the old ride track, she peeked over the edge and witnessed the face of a Small World doll looking up at her from underneath the water. She then claimed that her boat stopped and several of the other characters turned their heads and stared right at her. She apparently then jumped off the boat and ran away screaming. Then another account was from a small boy who claimed that the characters in the ride had spoken directly to him and asked if he would like to come live in their village. The boy then fell in the water, climbing out of his boat, and nearly drowned. After hearing about these, I told the manager I was going to do some background research on my own and return when I had more of an idea of what might be going on. I started out by doing some extensive research on the attraction's creator, Walt Disney himself. He was a famously motivated and resourceful individual, but failed often through his early career. Then at some point around the 1930s, he began to consistently find success in a major way. Many people believe that this transition from failure to triumph was brought about by his involvement in secret societies and the occult. I found reports of statements made by his friends where he claimed to have performed dark acts to ensure the popularity of Disneyland. I assume he was speaking in jest when he made the statement, but sometimes that's exactly what people want you to think. I then discovered that when the ride first came out, Walt informed everyone on the staff not to for any reason turn the volume of the music down or turn off the song while people were inside the ride. This rule was paramount to all else. So when I returned to the ride for more investigating, turning off the music was my obvious first request. The cast members there at the time didn't even know exactly how to run the ride like that, and needed to find a senior level person to help them do it. As soon as my boat started, I took out my EMF meter, which in layman's terms, essentially measures electromagnetic fields and picks up on the presence of spiritual beings. I began examining every prop I could, and at first, there was nothing there. That was until I got to the island portion of the ride, with all the guys with the tiki masks. It's normally a pretty creepy part of the ride, especially if you're by yourself. But without music, it was truly disturbing. I then saw something hide behind these wooden trees. It was about the size of a little kid, and as I approached closer, I saw it ducking in the shadows. I could barely see it, but it appeared as if it was grinning at me. I yelled out to it, but it didn't respond. It just kept staring at me ominously. Then I began to notice behind the other fake buildings and structures, there were more of these little dark figures hiding. The EMF meter started going crazy, and I ended up having to turn it off. Then in front of the boat from beneath the water, a body floated to the surface, and it belonged to my lost wife. This sent me into a full-on panic, and I jumped off the boat, beginning to run through the ride. Out of the darkness, I was tackled by several little figures who began scratching and tearing at my skin. Then in the chaos, I looked up and a figure with a giant smiling tiki mask and a large wooden mallet began mechanically walking towards me, repeatedly swinging the mallet in my direction. Horrified, I reached to my belt for the walkie-talkie the ride operators had given me and began screaming to turn the music back on. The tiki mask man joltingly swung the mallet, barely missing my head, when suddenly the music blared into the room. All of the figures then began to slowly back away and assume the positions they had been in before the music turned on, and the body of my wife sank back into the darkness. Ever since that experience, I have not participated in ghost hunting much. I believe that what I saw was everything I ever needed to know about the afterlife. There is something beyond the veil, and I think I would rather wait my time to ever encounter it again. I hope you enjoyed tonight's creepy tale, and I wanted to remind you that sometimes if you look into the dark looks back. Thus is clearly the case with the Small World ride at Disney. If you enjoy my stories, please leave me a like and subscribe so I can keep you up to date on all the terror that transpires out there. Have a horrifying evening, and remember to stay spooky, my friends.